the best in the world.
I've been the best ever since day one. On this microphone, in that ring, even in commentary. And trust me when I tell you, I am the hottest property in this industry today. Nobody can touch me. The only thing that's real is me, day in and day out. I am the best in the world. Do I have everybody's attention now?
What up, people? I said, what up, people? Welcome to a special edition of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast, featuring the one and only Mike Steph, best in the world at what he does. Yeah, man. The reason why that little moniker down there says keep it at a buck times two has a lot to do with the number that's going to come out my mouth for this episode. Over the last month and change, at the very beginning of these episodes, I've said, yeah, we're on the road to 50 and the concurrent road to 200. And we have actually reached that point, that pinnacle, that destination. We are actually at episode 50 of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast. We are also at episode 200 for those hard of hearing. Let me spell it out for you. 200. Do you know what kind of effing milestone that is in the world of podcasting? Do I have the fruits of my labor harvested? Tell you the truth, that based on the perspective that you choose to use. I choose to use the perspective of this. In June 2019, I embarked on this journey of podcasting. I had no particular goals. I had no expectations. Shit, I didn't even have any equipment. All I had was this phone. Well, not this particular phone, but a phone in my mouth. That was it. And whatever salty thoughts emanated from my head and came out of my spout. Going on 5 years later, things have changed, but some things are the same. The face is the same. The voice is the same. And the salty thoughts are the same. I'm not going to be long-winded on this intro because I'm actually going to get right to the shits in a very few minutes. And then the celebration will happen toward the end of the episode because I will give the unvoiced masses the news that they desperately need, the views that they desperately came to hear and came to see first. And then I will bask in my glory at the end because I am that benevolent child. I am that benevolent man. I am that benevolent individual that those of y'all know I am and for me to continue being. But yeah, that's what's making this such a special episode today. And I don't know why. It's dark in here, but whatever. Maybe that's a sign for me to, as my wife is distracting me from the side, come and say hi. Well, say hi off camera.
Hello.
You know this is my 200th episode, right?
Congratulations. I love you, baby.
I love you, too.
You're going to have 200 more.
As she seductively walks away, she decided to come in here and give me this new sticker for my laptop. I become a sticker collector of these laps on the laptop. Anyway, but no, I appreciate my lovely wife, my lovely Mrs. Ooh, dearly. Darn, she kind of got me flustered. I'm way off topic, but regardless, I'm going to let y'all know what's going to be on deck this episode, and then we get this episode on the road, because I am a procrastinating mother effer. I was supposed to start this. Actually, I had everything set up 3 hours prior to me pressing record. And you know what happened? I'll tell you what happened. Well, first and foremost, I had to speak to the tribal princess. Yes, my dear granddaughter. I had to speak to her first. Then we had to talk to, well, not we had to, but we needed to talk to our 3 other grandchildren that reside in the state of Virginia and talk to them for a little bit. See how they was doing. See how they enjoyed their spring break. And then I was like, okay, I can start. Guess what? It's Monday. And you know what Monday means. Monday means Monday Night Raw. And being the fact that I'm a wrestling head, and yes, for those who do not indulge in such things, don't worry, there will be no wrestling talk here tonight. I repeat, there will be no wrestling talk here tonight. But I get distracted. I'm looking at the time. I'm like, darn, Raw is about to start. I don't like, if I'm home, I don't like watching Raw on a replay. I do not like watching Raw on DVR. I do not like watching Raw on tape delay. So, of course, with news coming up that would not be divulged here, I was like, you know what? I'll watch the first half, or at least the first 45 minutes, and then I will start this episode 3 hours later than it was supposed to be, but neither here nor there. I'll be talking about the person that's on my chest, which is kind of weird because normally I try not to have any men on my chest. I think that's pause worthy, but I felt like it was apropos being the fact that I'm going to be talking about my New York Knickerbockers and their beginning of their journey throughout the Eastern Conference playoffs starting next weekend. Yesterday, Sunday to be exact, was the season finale in which they finally vanquished those pesky ass Chicago Bulls to get our 50th win of the season to secure the number 2 seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs. And to me, put the cherry on top of what should be an MVP series, MVP season by none other than Jalen Brunson. That's to be seen. But regardless, I'll be talking about why I feel that Jalen Brunson should be the MVP for the league this year, this season, and some preliminary thoughts on what might be at hand in our trek through the Eastern Conference playoffs this year. Then I'll be talking about my New York Metropolitans, but no. I will not be actually talking about the team, because even though they have turned things around and they are currently just 1 game under 500, it's still early. And tell you the truth, they're still boring me. So I will not be talking about that. But I will be talking about the ceremony that happened also this past Sunday afternoon, in City Field, in Flushing, Queens, for Dwight Doc Gooding. Yes, that's right. Dr. K. Doc Gooding. Got his jersey retired. His jersey number retired at City Field. And I'm going to give you my thoughts on that. I was thinking about giving you a personal antidote, but those who know, well, those who know me, I've already given this, and I really don't want to, you know, kind of spoil what was a monumentous day for Doc Gooden. Well, not like he knows me from a speck of dirt, but I feel like I would be in the same vein as those who decided to not withhold their venom for O.J. Simpson last week. You know, was he? Anyway, no matter what you thought of O.J., I feel like the day that he died probably wasn't the best time to get all your personal animus out on the airwaves. That's just me. Look, everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but, like, come on. Show some fucking class, right? So I would choose not to, well, maybe I don't know. I might sprinkle some caveats in there. But no, don't get me wrong. It's nothing bad. It's just some personal news that I know of, but neither here nor there. So that will be on deck this week. And like I said at the very beginning, I will bow tie this episode with a quasi celebration of episode 50 of the Social Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast, episode 200 overall in the episodes, well, in the Salty Thoughts podcast of yours truly. So with all that being said, let's get this show on the road. Without further ado, good night, mwah, and goodbye. Bang! Our New York Knickerbockers enter the 2024 NBA playoffs as the number 2 seed. Our New York Knickerbockers clinch their first 50-win season since the 2012-2013 season, about a dozen years ago. Our New York Knickerbockers did not wilt in the pressure cooker that was the season finale against the Chicago Bulls, those pesky Chicago Bulls, those borderline dirty Chicago Bulls. Our New York Knickerbockers were led by Jalen Brunson, who finished with 40 points once again, his 11th game with 40 or more points this season. Do you know? How about this for a stat? How about me letting y'all see my simply ravishing, dashing face just for a few minutes while I come up with these stats? Did you know that Jalen Brunson, with that performance, well, matter of fact, with his performance this season, is now only one of three players in NBA history to average 28 plus points per game, 6 plus assists per game, on greater than 40% from downtown while playing at least 77 games for the season? Only the third player in all of history to achieve those facts, to achieve those stats, to achieve those landmarks, to achieve those landmarks. The other two? I'll give you a minute. Who do you think the other two were? Yeah. I know y'all done gave up, right? The first one was Larry Legend, Larry Bird, in 1985. The second one I actually share a name with, and that would be Steph Curry in 2016. Do you know what those two people, do you know what those two players had in common? They both went on to win the league MVP. But yet, I'm hearing, okay, Nikola Jokic, okay, two-time. He should have been three-time, but, you know, They ran a guilt trip on him. He didn't really give a F either way. So Embiid, finally, his T is paid off, and he got the MVP last year. Okay, fine. Shake Gilders, Alexander. I could see that. OKC, nobody thought OKC would have the number one seed in the Western Conference. And not only that, this man is averaging 30-plus a game. I get it. I can see that. Then we have the likes of Luka Doncic. Okay, they're 50. They won 50, 52 wins. They won 52 games, 51 games, something to that effect. Whoopie damn do. Yeah, I know it's in the West, but guess what? They say about his lack of roster that he's been playing with, he got Kyrie Irving on his hand. Yeah, it's not our fault that Kyrie Irving only played, let's say, half the games, played 55 games or so. Still, he had that ace up his sleeve. Can't tell me that didn't help the situation. Jalen Brunson? Think about it. Of course, he won't win this year. And he probably won't even be in serious contention to do so, based on various factors. Popularity, the status quo, the media pundits having their biases. I mean, J.J. Redick said, you know, he could see him fifth. Okay, fifth. You know, J.J. Redick, matter of fact, I'm not even going to waste my time on that cocksucker. Look at it this way. On First Take today, they were debating, and this has something to do with the Knicks as a whole also. They were debating which team has a better chance of getting out of the play-in. Not the playoffs, not advancing into the playoffs. What team has a better chance of getting out the play-in? Golden State or the Los Angeles Lakers? And now, far be it for me to throw dirt on the name of the Golden State Warriors, because I am a Golden State fan. I am a Golden State supporter. But this is the second consecutive season they've underachieved. And they've underachieved not really due to any type of injuries, per se. They've underachieved due to self-inflicted wounds. Self-inflicted wounds to their culture. Self-inflicted wounds to their locker room culture. Selfishness to a certain degree, but I'll get into them later. And Los Angeles Lakers. You know, Los Angeles, I know it's a marquee city. I know it's a marquee franchise. And I know any franchise that has LeBron James at it, even when he's pushing 40. Is he even 40 yet? I think he's 40, isn't he? But I know any team that has LeBron James on the roster is going to get more than their more of the lion's share of the attention. But we're talking about teams that are respectively 10th and 8th in their own fucking conference. The New York Knicks are number 2. The media has hitched their wagons to the stars of these respective teams for so long that it's going to be so interesting when they finally hang it up, when Steph hangs it up, when LeBron hangs it up, when Steph isn't that supernova that can go off any time anymore, that he has to just ramp it up for special occasions. What are they going to do? Take them out the equation, and what y'all got? It's already apparent who the next wave is going to be. You got Luka. And this is a combination of players and teams. You got Luka, who I just mentioned. You got the Boston Celtics, who have never won a damn thing this iteration under Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. What the fuck have they won? They've gotten to one finals appearance, and they had a 2-1 lead, and they didn't sniff a victory for the rest of that series. Last year, by all by all accounts, they should have never gone to a game seven against Miami. They got there, but that's because that's when they were down. By the time they got to game seven, they was actually down 3-1. Like, then no, to me, they're no longer the little engine that could. That was back in the days when LeBron was still in Cleveland. And it was Jason Tatum's rookie year, and they got them to the Eastern Conference Finals. And then the following year, they had Kyrie Irving, and that didn't go well. Matter of fact, Kyrie got hurt. Then the following year, Kyrie imploded. Then you know what? This is karma for doing Isaiah Thomas dirty, like y'all did back in the day. You have, I guess, the new and improved Gallinari now, right? You got Kristaps Porzingis. So what? You really think you're gonna win something special with Kristaps? What has he ever proven in the playoffs? But I digress. You got Embiid, who's coming off an MVP season, and benefit of that, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. When he was in the lineup, they were 30-8 in the lineup. But being available is more than half the battle, more than half of what's asked of you. And yeah, I know it's an injury, no fault of his own, but still, how many times can this motherfucker be injured? That knee keeps on getting injured over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. The tread on that tire is starting to become very, very worn out. Anyone, if anyone but these New York Knickerbockers who have earned the number two seed in the East, overcome all these injuries, would they have been looked at the way we've been looked at? And when I say all these injuries, I'm talking about key players. We've lost Julius Randle for a big chunk of the regular season, at least prior to the All-Star break. The majority of this year, this calendar year, we've been without Julius Randle. Mitch Robb, he just came back, but he's still not 100%. We was without him since December. We sprung a big trade for OG and Anunoby. And then OG went out with an elbow injury that required surgery. With OG in the lineup, I believe we are 20-3 with OG in the lineup. But how many games have we had OG on the roster? 46, so he's missed more than half of the available games. We've been led by none other than Jalen Brunson. Led by Jalen Brunson. If this was anyone else besides the Knicks, they would have been lauded by these outlets. And as I've said in the past, and will continue to state, the disregard and the disrespect and the bias is glaring. But that's the way we like it. Our coach, Tom Thibodeau, as I said years ago, and I'll continue saying it, he is not happy unless he is miserable. A miserable. The Villanova triumphant. Team first. Play for each other ethos that's permeated throughout this franchise is infectious. Now, y'all know I am not a big fan of Julius Randle. Y'all know I'm not a fan of him. I relent and say we could have used him healthy going into the playoffs, if nothing but as an extra body. But do we miss him? Nah. Not in my opinion. Do we need him? Maybe. If he was healthy, possibly. And that's an interesting question. Because I'd say that this team has been more cohesive
without his constant need of touches, without Coach Tibbs' sick infatuation with him, the team functions better revolving around Jalen Brunson. Now, I'm not going to get into my playoff predictions until next week because, like, we really don't even know who we're playing. Personally, yeah, man, orange and blue, baby, orange and blue. Now, personally, I'm not going to get into my player predictions. And personally, for a revenge factor between the two teams that we're going against, that we there's a possibility that we'll go against, the Philadelphia 76ers and the Miami Heat, I'd like to face the Miami Heat. It's always fuck the Miami Heat on this side. Always, since the days of Pat the Rat Riley and his slithering ass coming out of MSG and going down to South Beach and forming, yes, a formidable franchise down there, but it's always fuck Pat Riley over here. It's always fuck the Miami Heat from the days of the rivalry with Alonzo and Tim Hardaway and Thunder Dan Marley to the days of now. Jimmy Buckets, Eric Spoelstra, Bam Adebayo, and them boys. Yeah, man, I want them. They bumped us last year in 6 games. And a lot of the reason why we got bumped in 6 games was due to, am I going to lay at the feet Julius Randle? You're damn right. Because Jalen Brunson did everything that he could. Everything that he could to get us over that hump. I believe there was one game he played all 48 minutes. Did not take not 1 second off. Just had to give y'all a little taste of what's to come, because I was warned that, you know, orange is very wearing on the eyes. Word to Winchester. Now, the Sixers pose a different challenge altogether. But to me, with Embiid still gimpy, I like our chances against them as well. Like, so Knicks ain't ducking no fucking smoke whatsoever. Not ducking nothing. I ain't scared of none of these son of a bitches. I ain't scared of none of y'all mother effers. Neither are the Knicks. We can go down the line. The Milwaukee Bucks? Please. Orlando? Yeah, Orlando has been tough. Orlando's been, you know, had a winning record against us this season, but guess what? We sit them in the playoffs, it's a whole different animal, mother effer. Indiana, yeah. They got a squad. They're gonna try to run you out the building, but guess what? Guess what? They don't play a lick of D either. And then we go to Boston. I'm not talking about Chicago. I'm not talking about Atlanta, because neither one of them even get into a series. Boston. It was very, very quickly brushed aside last week when we went up to Beantown and bust that ass. They was like, Boston really didn't have nothing to play for. Yeah, but they were playing hard until they weren't. They were playing hard until they got their heart snatched out, right? They were playing hard until they were down by 30. They were playing hard until the crowd started turning against them, right? The amount of disrespect that we receive on a daily basis just gives us fuel. Hatred fuels us. The dismissals fuel us.
to be the ones. We are. We will be the one. I can see us going to the conference finals. Like, who's to say that we can't be that surprise team to make a run to the finals? Why not us? Why not us? The intangibles that we have far outweigh our weaknesses. We got Dante DiVincenzo open three. We got Josh Hart, pretty much the Swiss Army knife. Dude is like 6'4", grabbing 16 rebounds, 12 rebounds, 15 rebounds, 18 rebounds. Playing that hard-nosed defense, scraping those knees, getting down and getting every loose ball, making it hard for the opponent. OG, when he's healthy, 20-3 is the record. Speaks for itself. We got Precious Achiuwa. Even though that name is kind of suspect, but neither here nor there. Precious Achiuwa. Without him, do we win last night? Do we win the season finale? Play tough defense on DeMar DeRozan on a potential game winner. And prior to that, had a crucial putback dunk to keep us in front. Bogdanović, he is what he is. He gives us what he gives us. But he's not an essential part, essential cause. Everything goes around, runs around. This man right here. Mr. Brunson. As I said before, and I'll say it again, and I'll wrap up on this note. For all the kudos and accolades that Luka Doncic has gotten during his tenure in Dallas, the one time he actually got to the Western Conference Finals, it was in large part to this man right here. Because if this man right here, and this man I'm talking about is Jalen Brunson, if he was not on that team, they wouldn't have got out that first round matchup against the Utah Jazz. He effectively played Donovan Mitchell to a standstill. And in other times, outplayed Donovan Mitchell. The Phoenix Suns. Ask the Phoenix Suns about Jalen Brunson and what he did to them. Tell him. Underestimate this man at your own will, at your own risk. Next week, I'll probably have a playoff preview because we'll know exactly who we're going against. And maybe I might even actually have a quasi half-assed NBA playoff preview next week. I have until the end of this episode to figure out just if that's going to be the case. But once again, why not us? Why not him? The skirts are showing, media. The skirts are showing, Stephen A. Smith, going on your Stephen A. Smith show. Talking about, I like what I see. I like what I see. And you're talking about players that haven't been on the team in 3 fucking months. Talk about Grimes. Yeah, Grimes. Grimes has been in Detroit since January. Next thing you know, you're going to be talking about, yo, quickly in that floater. Fuck out of here. The New York Metropolitans this past Sunday retired the number 16 to be exact, of Doc Gooden, Dwight Doc Gooden. Pitcher extraordinaire, member of the infamous 1986 World Championship team of the New York Mets. And as you can see, well, my YouTube viewers can see, it wasn't the best day to be in Citi Field. It was a, you know, passing shower. And a lot of people that I know that are Mets fans were wondering, why did they choose to have his ceremony so early in the season, when the weather wouldn't be that great when, unfortunately, the team, yeah, even though they've been on the upswing, they haven't been that, you know, up to par. Well, maybe they are now, because I think a lot of us probably figured there'd be around a 500 team fighting for that third wild card spot. But Daryl Strawberry, I believe his ceremony is going to be in the heat of the summer, in the middle of the season. Better weather. Is it based on popularity? I don't know. One thing for sure that I can say is our Uncle Steve. Steve Cohen, the manager of the New York, well, not manager, the owner of the New York Metropolitans, has made all the effort to make sure that our great players from the past have a place in the organization or being honored by the organization. I give kudos and a bravo when it comes to that. And it's unfortunate that it took a change in ownership for our lineage to actually be upheld, because a lot of the negativity around the Wilpons, it seemed like we was giving more honor to the Brooklyn Dodgers or the Dodgers or the New York Giants than our actual franchise, the New York Metropolitans. Yes, I know we're a derivative of those two teams, or should I say a combination of those two teams, hence the blue, the orange, the white. But we've been in existence for what, 62 years? 62 years. So we might not have the long storied history as those Bombers up in the Bronx. And that's the only thing I'm going to say about those damn Yankees up there. But we deserve our own plateaus. We deserve our own ceremonies. We deserve our own canyon of heroes, so to speak. We deserve our own old timers day. But maybe I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. Let me give you a little background on Dwight Gooden. Dwight Gooden got called up in 1984. And in 1985, when he was only 20 years old, he went 20-4 with a 1.53 ERA. He won the Cy Young that year as well. He was infamously nicknamed Dr. K, as in Dr. Strikeout, because he was electrifying before The Rock was ever such a thing. His outings became events. He had his famed K Corner in Shea Stadium started the trend of counting strikeouts during his eventful outings. His famed curveball was named Sir Charles. And no, not named after the round mound of rebound Charles Barkley, but from the fact that it just dropped and left your knees buckling. His stuff was just amazing. His call-up in 1984 was a beginning of a renaissance that the Mets had in the mid-80s, which unfortunately only gained them one championship, and that was in 1986. He'll forever be linked with Daryl Strawberry, who I've spoken about prior, who was called up middle of the 1983 season, which a lot of people don't realize or they kind of skim over, was the precursor to the potential dynasty we had on Cap. I remember that pretty much he was the only reason to tune into WWOR Channel 9 to watch Mets games. You know, we had Hubie Brooks before he was traded along with Mike Fitzgerald in 1984 for Gary Carter. I mean, we had a rotation that included bitch ass Ron Darling. Yeah, I said it. I'm gonna, even though this is supposed to be all about Doc Gooden, if I haven't let the masses know why I don't like Ron Darling, I will tell you very, very shortly right now. 1985, to be exact. I spent the majority of that year living in Flushing, Queens, me and my mom. And I'm going to put myself on the screen for this. So, being the fact that my mom was a good mom, she didn't want to just take me out of school, and she didn't want me to transfer to school because she didn't know whether or not we was going to go back to Brooklyn after whatever was going on was going to happen. So, we would commute every morning and every afternoon from Flushing, Queens to Crown Heights, Brooklyn. We would take numerous trains, but the one consistent train that we had to take was the number 7 train to the last stop, Main Street, Flushing, Queens. Now, on game days, it was not strange to see some of the Mets players actually on the train on their way to the game. Now, would that ever happen nowadays? Probably not, especially the way transit is, but you didn't hear that from me. But this cheap ass would get on the train. Can't tell me he couldn't afford car service, but maybe trying to be a man of the people, or so you think. So one time we're on the train coming home from school, me and my mom, and we hear this murmur in the train car. And like I said, it's school time, so there's numerous kids in the car. Now you would think, if you're going out, if you live out in Flushing, Queens, more than likely, you're probably a Mets fan if you like baseball. If you're getting on the train and you're a player, and this is when the Mets are actually good, it shouldn't shock you that people are going to notice you. So, long story short, I remember a couple kids went up to him, asked for his autograph. He shoot them away like flies. Pretty much, don't bother me, kid. No autographs. Don't leave me alone. Now, I've never been awestruck when it came to celebrities, sports players, what have you. So I wasn't really in line or trying to go get an autograph regardless. I'm like, the fuck? It's going to be a signature on a piece of paper, a signature on whatever. Don't really matter to me. This is at my tender age of 8. Or 9. Yeah, probably 8 or 9. Well, regardless. So, my mom saw this, and my mom looked, and she was like, look, my mom used to curse like a sailor. My mom said, that piece of shit. Fuck him. Snooty, bougie motherfucker. Something to that effect. I don't remember exactly the words, but I'm quite sure I'm not too far off base. So that's why I never liked, damn near 40 years later, I never liked Ron Darling, because my thing is, it would have cost you nothing. This is 85, 84, 85. It would have cost you nothing to at least give those kids just a smidgen, 5 seconds of your time. I'm not saying even giving them an autograph, but just that, hey, kid, how you doing? Hope you're doing good in school. Would have went a long way to some of these children that was in that car. Some of these children that looked up to you. But you couldn't be bothered. You said, fuck out of here. Get out of here. Scram. Beat it. And that's why I will never, I watch Met games on occasion. And let's just say that third voice, which would be Ron Darling, I don't even really hear him. It's just Gary and it's Keith. That's it. Who? Who's that third voice? Don't know. Don't know who his name is. Don't. I didn't realize it was a three-man booth. Now, back to the topic at hand. One thing we didn't know at the time, unfortunately, and even in my oldest years, matter of fact, one thing we didn't know at the time, even in my oldest years, I didn't know, I didn't realize this, and I gained this tidbit from a column I read yesterday by John Heyman. When Dwight Gooden made the majors at 19 years old, even the Mets front office planned on the usual Class A to Double A to Triple A progression until the spring of 1984. In the spring of 84, our manager at the time, our new manager, Davey Johnson, told general manager Joe McElvain that the kid was ready. And not only did he kind of force their hand, he, meaning Doc Gooden, rewarded their faith in him with the Rookie of the Year award-winning campaign. Doc Gooden spent 11 years with the Mets. I didn't even realize he spent 11 years with the Mets. He ranked second in franchise history in wins with 157 and in strikeouts, 1,875. And third in innings pitched, 2,169 and two-thirds innings. And in complete games with 67. That's unheard of nowadays. Shoot, do people even get two complete games in a season? He had 67 in his 11 years. Which, think about it, about six per year. Now, this is the only piece of negativity I'll bring in because it is part of his story. Why this was such a monumental day for Doc Gooden. Doc Gooden has a long history in substance abuse. Which he's overcome and he's relapsed and overcome. He's had a contentious relationship with Darryl Strawberry due to those situations, which I, on some hand, I'm like, well, Darryl, you know, you should be throwing stones out of a glass house, but regardless, you know, some people have it easier than others overcoming such things. Doc Gooden missed the World Series parade in 86 because he was on a bender. Not that anybody knew the real reason at the time, but, you know, he was in full throes of his addiction. Now, one tidbit. 6 degrees of separation from Mike Steph. And I'm not going to get into the minutia of it, but 6 degrees of separation. If you know what that means, then you know what that means. Doc Gooden from Tampa, Florida. This is the 80s. Now, back in the 80s, you know, I mean, there's the documentaries of it, Cocaine Cowboys. You know, Griselda, Scarface, the whole nine, you know, the drug trade in Florida was crazy. And I had a relative that was living in Florida at the time. And they were, they had a relationship with one of the wheelers and dealers back then. And they knew Doc before Doc was Doc. So when they came up, now mind you, they really didn't really go follow baseball, but when Doc came up to the Mets, it was an event in our house. And said relative was like, yeah, look at Dwight. Oh, I'm so proud of Dwight. I'm like, what happened? Yeah, sure. I know Dwight from back in the day. Like when I was in Tampa, you know, yeah, Dwight used to come through. Word. Yeah. Dwight, let's put it this way. So it wasn't a surprise to said relative when the news came out that he was doing XYZ, because they pretty much knew he used to dabble. They didn't probably figure that it was going to get a grip on him like it ended up having. But when Doc would be on that mound sweating, and it wasn't all Jerry Curl juice, that was a lot of time, that was probably sweating out his shit. It wasn't just the humid, the hot, muggy nights in Shea Stadium that was causing him to be sweaty. But I say that, and I say that not as to throw a stone, not to look down in my nose, not to even throw any dirt in there. It's just, once again, why this weekend was such a monumental moment for Doc to be recognized by the franchise, in which gave him a chance, and also he gave everything too. Yeah, it would be easy for the Yankees to give him some kudos, but the Yankees give everybody kudos. Like, they run out of fucking numbers. But he rose to prominence as a member of the New York Metropolitan, the New York Mets. And for him, even though it was partially raining, well, it was raining part of the ceremony, for him to be given his flowers while he's in a position to adequately receive said flowers was the whole point of that ceremony. Doc Gooden, and hopefully I'm not speaking out of school, but Smitty from the group home in Bergen Beach mentioned that, because he's a big baseball fan, played baseball, so forth, said one of the summers of his youth, he tried to replicate the pitching form of Doc. Couldn't do it. And Doc was so smooth. Doc was just, between him and Keith Hernandez, I want to say those are my two emulated Mets of those years. Those are the two Mets that, you know, that remind me, when you say Keith and when you say Doc and when you say Daryl, 86, 85, 84. Keith came in 83, helped establish the culture. Jesse Orozco, Roger McDowell, Bobby Ojeda, El Cid. These are the stalwarts. Not even talking about Lenny Dykstra, but Wally Backman, Hojo, Howard Johnson. List goes on and on and on and on and on. Kevin McReynolds, which, remember back in the day, Dave Magadan. Like, he was supposed to be the heir apparent to Keith Hernandez, but David Cohn. People don't realize, or people don't remember, that David Cohn first shined as a New York Met before he went over to glory with the New York Yankees, with a pit stop in Toronto, but he became into his own as a New York Met. Joe Torre was an old manager of the New York Mets. Doc came toward Doc came either the year of or year after George Foster bid adieu to the Mets. George Bamberger was the manager of the Mets. I could go on and on and on and on and on. But salute Doc. You deserve it. You deserve all the kudos. And thanks for the memories. So here we are at episode 50. and episode 200. Episode 50, I'll concentrate on that first, of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast. It's different, but the same as the year anniversary. So that's why I'm not going to really double up, because the year anniversary was just six weeks ago. But in the first 50 episodes, and tell you the truth, the number 50 is a number I've been playing with, especially over the last couple of weeks, because I've given y'all 6 episodes in the last 3 weeks. And I just kind of played with it because a couple of them was just sprinkle salts. A couple of them was like 47 and a half, 49 and a half. I just had a lot of content I wanted to get out there, but I didn't want the occasion to be overshadowed by the content, if that makes sense. I'm going to go through a myriad of logos for the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph. Now, as I've mentioned before, and I will mention until I can't mention anymore, the artistic vision behind these logos, behind the overlay, behind the graphics, or lack thereof, but I should say the behind the graphics that I do have, is by courtesy of Brad Winchester of Gimmick Infringement, courtesy of Brad Winchester, person I dare say is my friend. He asked me, matter of fact, I asked him, I'm like, look, Brad, I need some help. I'm wondering if he had the time to come up with a new logo for my new outlook on this podcast. Something I was just really more concerned with the color scheme. Because he asked me what colors. I'm like, well, green, blue, and orange, which is a crazy color scheme, to tell you the truth. Probably the reason it doesn't look crazy to me is because, first of all, I liked it. Those are my colors. And second, because I kind of used them. But the green, of course, represents the New York Jets. The blue and orange represent both the New York Mets and the New York Knicks. And that's pretty much all I told him. I didn't tell him, oh, I want this, I want this, I want that. And within 5-10 minutes, if that, he conjured up a couple images. So this is one of the originals. You see the blue, you see the orange, you see the green, and you see the skyline of New York with the Statue of Liberty incorporated into it, which was beautiful. Now, of course, when the year came up, I'm like, can you remix it? He was like, sure. So then came up with this color scheme. Just a little different, but same colors, blue, orange, green. Yes, that is a salt shaker, sprinkling salt, that's not a head sprinkling or pissing on the Statue of Liberty, but I like it. And if you interpret it that way, so be it. Feel free. This one is one of my favorites, because it's the Statue of Liberty, and instead of the torch in their hand, it's a salt shaker. And of course, he did it all different types of flavors. You know, the orange with the blue and the green. Once again, with the salt shaker. But if you look in the blue very, very intently, you'll notice that, no, those aren't stars in the sky. That's salt. Salt sprinkled all over the place. And that was for him to reach out. I mean, for him to do that for me was just great. And it helped me actually do this vision that I had in my mind of transforming this from a primarily audio platform to give it a little more oomph for the visual. Now, in the process, I've actually cannibalized my audio listenership, which that's the way I really would have made some bread. But I started this with any intentions of making any type of money. If it happened, great. It's a hobby. It's not a career. It's a hobby. I don't even have merchandise for this latest iteration. Why? Because I just don't feel like it. That's not my goal, to try to make money. But by all means, you know, if y'all want to donate to Donnie Mike on Cash App, and I'll gladly accept it. But that's neither here nor there. Now, the 50th episode is a landmark in itself, but the true landmark is the 200th. The number 200. And people will ask why. Because that means it's from the very beginning. Very beginning meaning this. Yeah. Bare bones. That little logo in the corner is my old logo, the Salty Thoughts of Donnie. Ooh. Yeah, right there. That logo was made by my son, Chef Mix. And the reason I'm not using that logo anymore is because Donnie Ooh no longer exists. As if you want more of a preamble to why, check out episode 30-something, The Trials and Tribulations of Mike Steph, and get more into it. And you can even check out episode number 1 of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast, and you can check that out too. And that'll give you more of an explanation, because I don't feel like talking about it right now. Not for any type of me being ashamed. It's just Donnie, that persona was what allowed me to dip my toe in the water and get comfortable. That persona allowed me to just get my salty thoughts out without any repercussions of, yo, I know the face, I just don't know the name. Guess what? That name didn't really exist. Once I got more comfortable in my own skin, or once I felt the need that I had to become comfortable in my own skin, that's why you see Mike Steph, my name, Mike Steph, Michael Steffens. It's not really much of, I'm going up the top of the head right now, and I'm not going to be long-winded, but over these 200 episodes have ups and downs, round and around we go. Matter of fact, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to play a couple clips, audio clips, from the very, very beginning, and then I'm going to come back and wrap this up.
Preview episode of the Salty Thoughts of Donnie Ooh podcast, featuring the one and only Donnie Ooh. That's the word of what he does. I found out the hard way that the hardest part of starting a podcast is the actual introduction. I'm starting this because I intend on this to be a platform for me to spew my salty thoughts on various topics such as sports, politics, social media, life in general. To give you a little background about myself, I'm a Knicks, Mets, and Jets fan for over 35 years. The agony, the pain, the torture of being a fan of these downtrodden losing teams have really affected my life in various ways. I felt like I needed a platform so I could vent and rant about it. I've also been a wrestling fan for that span too. So in this preview, I'm going to rant about the Jets' new hire of head coach Adam Gase, I might sprinkle in a couple thoughts about my Knicks. And unfortunately, they're not so amazing Mets. I plan for this layout not to be too complicated. It's probably going to be a little unorthodox in the setup. And hopefully I'll get better with time. But if I'm going to put this out, I need to put it out now while I still got the nerve. So I'm going to leave it off. Or should I say I'm going to lead off with my rant that I recorded maybe about 2 weeks ago when all the hubbub was still going on with Adam Gase and the firing of Mike Maccagnan and the beginning of the search of a GM for this wayward franchise of mine, the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. And later on in the week, come out with a more lengthy podcast on and touch on more topics. But I need to get my foot wet. So here I go. And I'm just going to dive into the deep end of the pool. So hope you enjoy. I'll speak to you later. Goodbye. Mwah. And good night.
What up, people? Welcome, welcome, welcome to the debut of the Salty Daughter Mike Steph. Yeah, this is your host, the one and only Mike Steph. Best of the world at what he does. Still. Yeah, I know for long time listeners, you're probably like, well, this is still the same feed. It's still Salty Thoughts. That voice still sounds the same. Yeah, yeah. Like I said, total reinvention. Everything is about moving forward. Everything is about progressing. Yeah, so this week on the debut episode of the Salty Thoughts Mike Steph, I will have my first guest, hopefully in a long line of many. And that guest is going to be my brother from the Gimmick Infringement Podcast, one half of GI. Tyler McDowell, blanking. He blessed me with his presence for, I think we chopped it off for damn near 3 hours. But one of the changes, the slight tweaks in this re-debut is that I'm going to try to keep these episodes as close to an hour as possible. So being the fact that we chopped it up for damn near 3 hours, I am not going to overload your brain cells with the whole 3 hours here on the debut. So you might as well say this is part one of the new beginning. Yes, the new beginning. Me and Tyler on this part, we talked about what we consider to be our, or who we consider to be our moral compasses. We talked about his foray into the educational field. And a little surprise of he had dreams of hosting this once popular music show that was on cable TV, along with his crush of, well, I'll just leave it as Miss Diaz. Yeah, so all that and a little bit more will be included on this episode. For those who are too...
Now... Before I get too long-winded, those two clips were first the first ever episode of the Salty Thoughts format, and then the first episode of the reimagined Salty Thoughts and Mike Steph podcast. If you can tell, a lot of changes have happened from the very beginning. A lot of changes even happened from episode one of Salty Thoughts and Mike Steph. All this, I don't want to overload y'all with... too much content. Oh, I'm going to try to keep this within an hour. Yeah, how did that happen? How did that work out? Sure, I think there's still episodes on this feed, that one included. Matter of fact, Tyler's second spot on the platform, we went like 2.5 hours. And I just said, you know what? I'm going to upload all this shit. But... The reason I played those was just to show the progression. It's still a work in progress. I'm still a work in progress. And hopefully I'm not gonna say hopefully. I'll get up to episode 300, and I would definitely get to episode 100 of the new edition, the new beginning of the Salty Thoughts with Mike Steph. Before I actually go into the outro, I remember my guest from episode 100, the original, 100 Prime, on the Mojo King. He said, yeah, well, here's to another 100. But guess what? Here's to another 100, because I'm on episode 200. Or, as I said prior, my very beginning, keep it in a buck, times two. So, with all that being said, that brings us to the end of another edition of the Salty Thoughts and Mike Steph podcast. I'd like to thank each and every one of y'all for making me in this here podcast, the one y'all choose to view and the one y'all choose to listen to. Next week, I'll be talking, unless anything happens in the world of politics, which a lot of things actually happened over this past weekend, but I wanted to be more informed before I even tried to put my point of view out there. So in case something else happens, like a button being pressed, I probably won't be talking about that next week. But what's planned is I'll be giving my return of Mike Steph's half-ass NBA playoff preview, primarily just focusing on my New York Knickerbockers. And if those Warriors happen to get out of the play-in, I'll involve them. If not, I'll be concentrating on my New York Knickerbockers in their very, very beginning of this road, hopefully to a championship, we could all wish, but this road in the Eastern Conference on the NBA playoffs. So yeah, that'll be on deck next week. Will I talk about the Mets? Probably not, but maybe I'll sprinkle in something just, talk about baseball, because it seems like I've been throwing y'all crumbs. I've been throwing y'all crumbs for the baseball listeners. Been throwing y'all crumbs like tomato. Boo. Yeah, it's just too early. Listen, y'all know me. I can care less about baseball when it comes to April, but I've been throwing y'all crumbs. So if the Mets continue their winning ways, which as of time of recording, they won again, so now they're actually a 500 team. Maybe, they'll incur my favoritism of talking about them on my platform. But for all that, catch the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast, the audio form, available on the following platforms: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Music, amongst others. New episodes of the audio version drop each and every Wednesday. Catch me on social media on X at Mike Steffens _. Catch me on the gram at Mike _Steph. And catch me on TikTok at Mike Steph _. If you want to support my habit, cash me on, throw some fucking money in my Cash App at Donnie Mike, and check out my new blog, MikeSteph.wordpress.com. Yes.
Fuck that!
Clear, guys.
Fuck that!
Whoa. How are you going to say fuck that when I'm trying to put money in my pocket? The Rockets were billions and billions. Well, at least millions and millions of dollars. And I start trying to, promote a Cash App so people can actually put money in my cup. And this mother effer is going to enter.
Fuck that!
Clear, guys.
Fuck that! You shut your mouth. Doesn't mean that this shit stops. The Rock doesn't give a fuck.
All because you don't give a fuck, Mr. Rock. Maybe I give a fuck. Maybe I would like y'all to check out the new blog, Mike Steph, or .wordpress.com.
Fuck that!
Clear, guys.
Fuck that! You shut your mouth. Doesn't mean that this shit stops. The Rock doesn't give a fuck.
Okay. All right. You got it.
The Rock laid on the Rock said he was.
Fuck that!
Clear,
guys.
Okay, okay. Look, he's trying to take over this podcast. So that's telling me it's time for me to wrap this up. Before I go, check out my bros from Gimmick Infringement, Winchester and McDowell. Check out their latest episode of Gimmick Infringement, now streaming on the 19 Media Group YouTube channel. I'm going to check it out before I go to sleep tonight because I'm actually a day and a half behind. So, but trust me, the people, they did work. They put in so much work. They actually had a record amount of viewers last week for their WrestleMania recap. I believe over 800 views. Yes. Clap it up for the boys from GI. Check out my bro, the Mojo King, and his preview, even though the Masters is over. Check out his preview of the Masters tournament, you know, Hidden Gems Golf. For all the info you might need in the world of fantasy golf. Check them out each and every Wednesday on all media, all streaming platforms, wherever podcasts are available. And of course, once again, check me out on all the stuff that's scrolling at the bottom, which is no longer scrolling because...
Fuck that!
Clear, guys.
Fuck that! You shut your mouth. Doesn't mean that the shit stops. The Rock doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, so the Rock is telling me to get out of here. Stitch, you got anything to say? Oh! I was ahead of the curve. Or should I say the Jets made a very tactical error. My New York Jets came out with new uniforms, which I know is like just throwing a crumb to try to overcome the stench, especially of last season. But my Jets came out with new uniforms, which is the old to the past, which is the old to the uniforms that they wore from 1979 to, I believe, 1989 with this font, the jet at the top. The color scheme is going to be green and white, white and green, and black and green. But they're all going to have the old school logo. And as I told people, as much as I really have kind of outgrown getting jerseys, that is a part of my childhood because I started watching the Jets, started watching football at the tender age of 6. So that was 1982 season. And these are the uniforms of my childhood. So I already got the white one, which was the legacy from last year. I am going to get the green one and I might get the black one. Not like I need any more clothes, but at the end of the day, why not? You only live once, right? And plus, like I said, it's more of an ode to my childhood. So check it out. They're on all social media outlets. And let me know what you think of the new uniforms. I think they're marvelous. They're better than last year's. And they're better than... Yeah, they're way better than last year's. They're way better than the last 3-4 years of whatever stuff that they were trying to come out that looked like a ripoff of the Denver Broncos. And I was getting tired of the old school 60s garb that we start wearing in 98, I believe. So, you know, what's old is new again. So right now, we're going back to the 70s, early 80s, and hopefully it'll bring us some luck. Because in the 80s, quiet is kept. We were actually a damn good team. Did we ever get to the championship? No, but we was a consistent playoff team. We got to championship game, the Mud Bowl. We consistently won. We won a lot of, you know, had a lot of 10 win seasons. You know, Ken O'Brien, which got Johnny Hector, Freeman McNeil, the whole nine, Al Toon, Wesley Walker, Johnny Lamb Jones. You got Mark Gastineau, Joe Klecko, Lions. Damn, why am I blanking his name? Adal Salam, you know, the sack exchange, Clifton. Lance Mell. Whole bunch. I'm stringing this shit on. So that means it's time for me to get out of here. So until next week, I bid y'all do. I actually pressed pause by mistake. So like I said, I bid y'all do. I'm going to get the fuck up out of here. Until next week. Goodbye. Stitch, you got anything to say? I gave you the floor. And I don't want to hear that shit about, oh, you went into the end. It's like, get out your feelings. Matter of fact, keep my hat. Goodbye.